This morning, I know our time is running behind, but I want to give a brief... I want to talk to our graduates and also our parents and all of us in here. The thing is, you are not that special. Woo! Don't throw a stone at me yet. Let me explain. This week, there will be 3.3 million high school graduates. So you're not even one in a million, you're one in 3.3 million, right? And if you say, hey, I'm the valedictorian, they're like 37,000 high school valedictorians. And you just think in this world, it's 7.5 billion people. We are one in 7.5 billion people. Now, my thing is, if everyone is special, then special becomes average. Right? If everybody gets a C, then the curve would be a C. If everybody was special, then all of us would be average. And I'm here to tell you, you are not average. I'm here to tell you that it's not about being special. It's not about being average. Let me help you today to not be average, to not be special. Let's look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you have your Bible, or you turn on your Bible. First Corinthians chapter 1. We'll start at verse 27. It says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised thing and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. My first point here is God works best with regular people who have a special commitment to him. God works best with regular people who have a special commitment to him. It talks about how God chose the lowly things to shame the wise. He chose the things that are not to go against the things that are. And God, he wants us to have a commitment to him. Now, let me look at all, you know, people who are in the past had special talent. We think about King Saul, right? It says he was taller than anybody. But that just didn't work out for him. We think about Samson, who had amazing strength. But at the end, it didn't work out for him. But I think about this. Adam, very normal guy. He was to take care of the Garden of Eden and to name animals. God used Adam. Because of Adam, we are here today. I think about Noah. Now, Noah is a HOA nightmare. You realize that? Noah... It's an HOA nightmare. They probably sent him a bunch of letters. Hey, look, what are you doing? Why are you building this boat up here? It's never going to rain. He probably lined up the boat with all those letters from the HOA. Abraham. He had a lot of, you know, he had tents and he had a lot of animals. But yet God used Abraham in an amazing way because he was fully committed to to God. Moses. Now, at the beginning of Moses' life, he lived in Egypt, and he was all that in a bag of chips, right? And then God sent him into the wilderness to de-special him. And then he came back and did amazing things because he had a commitment towards God. We're thinking about Joshua and Caleb and how they had a different spirit. When they went out to scout out the land, they came back and gave a report based on their conviction. Rahab, a working, class girl with a red cord. Somehow she ended up in the Bible and became a part of the genealogy of Jesus. Ruth and Naomi, hey, I'll go with you. Our husbands are dead, but I will go with you. Your God would be my God. And what happened to Naomi and Ruth? God did amazing things. Joseph, just a Jewish carpenter, but yet God used him as well. Mary, I think about Mary, a Jewish girl who's never been with anybody, and yet she was carrying the Christ with her, being able to allow God to use her in an amazing way. You think about Peter and Andrew, illiterate fishermen that changed the world upside down. See, I believe that there are talented people that God can use. But I also believe that regular people, if you have a faithful commitment to God, He can use you too. I'm one of 7.5 billion. What can I do with 7.5 billion? See, God can do a lot with just one. You think about these people and what impact they had. At the end of the day, as we look into our mirror, when nobody's there, when we're at the end of our life, when all your achievement and accolades have faded, and it's just you and God. See, we're all gonna stand before God one day. I don't know if I can stand before God. I'll probably fall down or something. But we will stand before God by ourselves. I wish all of you could come and, hey, we support John. But no, I would be there by myself. It's us and God at the end. Can you say that God was able to use you because of your special commitment to Him? What would they write about you and I to the Christian 100, 1,000 years from now? What would they write about you and me? Would they say, well, they lived and they had a great house, they had a great life, and that's it? Or would they say, man, oh my goodness, you got to hear about this lady and this guy. They have such a commitment to God. And look at what God has done for them. What would they write about us 100 years from now? See, I believe that God can take ordinary people and do amazing things just like He did these people here. Because I don't want you to be average. I want you to be what God wants you to be. People are going to have more money than you. People are going to be good, more good looking than you, believe it or not. People are going to have bigger houses. People are going to have nicer cars. People are going to have more accomplishments and accolades than you. But what separates you from them is God using you. It's your commitment to God. That's what separates us from everybody else in the world. We're just not simply special. My second point. Well, let's turn there. We were there already. Ephesians chapter 1. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read verse 3. It says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ, and according with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of all of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed and were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." An amazing scripture. When I feel down, I go and read this, and I get excited. Because here's what it says. It says, you know, he's given us every blessing with every spiritual, you know, blessed with every spiritual blessing. We were chosen over all creation. We were designed to be holy and blameless. We are loved. We are destined for adoption by God. You know, through God's own pleasure. We were freely given grace, redeemed by his blood, marked and sealed with the Holy Spirit, guaranteed inheritance, forgiveness of sin. We are the product of and for his glory. He lavished with the riches of God's grace. We are part of God's plan, informed of his purpose and will, included in Christ and his mysteries revealed through us. Now, if that doesn't get your blood going, I don't know what it is. See, my second point here. Oh. It's not who you are, but whose you are. I think sometimes we think, who am I? What do I account for? What do I have? It's not about who you are, but whose you are. You see all this, and this is not even the whole list. Just from verse 1 through 14, and look what God has done with us. You know, whether you're graduating this week, whether you graduated last year or you graduated 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it still rings true. It's not about who you are, but whose you are. You belong to God. As Christians, we belong to God. Remember that. You know, be a person of significance, not just average. Don't settle for special. You were never meant to be special. You were meant to be amazing, extraordinary, spectacular. You're eternity changers. You were never meant to just be average. Don't believe in that lie. So I leave you with this today. YOLO. You only live once. I had to explain to somebody. They're like, what is that? You only live once. But I said, only if you do it right. Because there's another life after this that is going to be a very, very, very long time. So YOLO. Only if you remember Yodo. You only die once. You can YOLO all you want. Just as long as you remember, if you do it right, and you remember Yoda. You know, God loves us so much that we belong to Him. We're going to read this last scripture, and I want to leave this with all the graduates and their parents and all of us. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I want to congratulate all the graduates and their family. We as the church celebrate you and honor you and your accomplishments. May God grant you your heart's desire, and may you never be average, but rather reflect the image of the one who made you. God bless you.